Hey there, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. And today, we are diving into the chaos that was day 13 of the Karen Reed retrial. And let me tell you, it was a doozy. From taillight evidence that was missing and reports that were mysteriously delayed to a full-on text message bombshell between Karen Reed and Brian Higgins. This courtroom was on fire, y'all. Oh, and Chloe, the dog? Yep, we're going there too, so let's get right into it, shall we? Yuri Bukenik was back on the stand on Friday. He is the Massachusetts State Police Sergeant who oversaw the Karen Reed investigation. And the cross-examination of Yuri picked up right where it left off. Intense, contentious, and filled with holes that the defense was eager to punch through. Karen's attorney, Alan Jackson, came out swinging, putting Bukenik through the paces about where exactly on the lawn of 34 Fairview Road he found all those taillight fragments. When Bukenik said he wasn't going to argue semantics, Jackson snapped back, words do matter. And then came a bizarre detour.
Do you know what the word theory means?
I'm sorry, English is like a third language for me, so if you can bring up the Webster's Dictionary, I can read it out.
You want me to pull up the Webster's Dictionary? You want to take a break real quick and pull up the Webster's Dictionary to define a word that you used in an answer about 40 seconds ago? We're working off of a theory, quote-unquote. You said it, not me. You want me to go get a dictionary so we can figure out for the jurors what that word means?
Objection.
All right, sustained. Let's move along, please.
Then Jackson zeroed in on an evidence bag, this one supposedly containing red, black, and clear plastic, consistent with a broken taillight. Bukenik admitted that he collected the items but said he didn't write the label on the bag and had no idea who did. He claimed he handed the evidence off to someone on the homicide team. Maybe Proctor, I don't know, maybe someone else.
You had items of evidence that you already described as being incredibly important, correct?
Those are your words. I actually changed. I said every piece of evidence is important.
Okay. Since this is part of every piece of evidence, do you think this evidence was important?
Every piece of evidence is important.
So was this evidence important? Yes or no?
Yes.
So you had the evidence and turned it over to someone whom you don't know and can't identify. Is that what we understand?
It was a member of the Massachusetts State Police assigned to our office. It wasn't just a random person. I can't specifically identify who it was or who wrote on that bag. I know it was a trusted member of our unit and part of the investigative team.
How do you know it was a trusted member of your unit and a part of the investigative team if you can't tell these jurors who it was? How do you know that?
Because I wouldn't have turned it over to a random stranger.
Okay, so let's figure out the possibilities. Who are among those to whom you would have turned this stuff over? Who are among them?
There was four troopers in the detective unit at that point assigned to homicide.
Let's name them. Who are they?
It was Trooper DeChico, Trooper Kakowski, Trooper Dunn, and Trooper Mike Proctor.
As you sit here today, do you believe or do you recall turning it over to Trooper Dunn?
Objection.
Are we going to go through each person?
Every one of them. There's only four.
I'll allow this question.
Do you remember turning it over to Trooper Dunn?
No.
Do you remember turning it over to Trooper Pekowski?
No.
Do you remember turning it over to Trooper DeChico?
No.
You remember turning it over to Michael Proctor?
No.
So it might have been just a random stranger. Right?
That's a ridiculous suggestion.
Have you ever seen Trooper Proctor's handwriting before?
Yes.
Matter of fact, you've seen it, I'm guessing, not dozens, maybe hundreds of times, correct?
Not hundreds of times, no.
Dozens of times?
Sure.
Over the years?
Sure.
On evidence bags, on logs, on notes, things of that nature?
Some evidence bags, some notes.
When Sergeant Bukenik was asked who received the evidence bag from him, he just kept saying, them. No names, just them. And about those taillight shards, red taillight shards, the ones Trooper Michael Proctor found on February 11th, or so he says. That's several days after the incident, y'all. And several days after the scene and all of its lily-white snow had already been scoured for evidence. Alan Jackson made sure that the jury heard that one of those shards wasn't small and easy to miss the first time round. It was actually more than 6 inches long.
A similar 6-inch ruler that's being photographed with that red piece?
Yes, it is.
And how long at its longest point would you estimate that piece of plastic to be?
It's more than 6 inches. I mean, probably seven, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe seven.
I know this is a little bit of a challenge, but from top to bottom, what would you estimate the distance to be at its longest point?
3.5 inches, I guess.
Okay. And then the next page, please, the final page, which would be sub C. Do you see the same designator on the bottom right?
Yes, I do.
That's 716, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Appears to be out of the same evidence envelope, is that right?
That's what's suggested, yes.
And how long would you estimate this item to be?
7.5, 8 inches.
And maybe, what, 3 inches tall? 4?
Yeah, 3. 3.
Okay, we can have the lights up, Your Honor, with the court's permission. Again, the last time you were out at the location with very little snow on the ground, you collected certain items of evidence on February 10th, correct?
February 10th was the last time I collected. I said there was still snow on the ground, maybe in piles where it was excavated. It was very little, but there was still snow on the ground.
You indicated that you obviously looked around the area. You talked about the general area. I think you used the word general vicinity, right?
When yes.
You collected your items.
Yes.
You didn't see this, and you didn't see the one before it either, did you?
If I saw any of these items, they would have been collected. We did not excavate anything. We simply allowed the thawing and natural recession of the snow to reveal additional items.
When you were there on the 3rd, February 3rd, there was still some snow on the ground, but you did excavate, correct?
Yes, there was a lot of snow on the ground. Yes.
By February 4th, that snow was dissipating some, correct?
It was, yes.
And you were excavating through that as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. On the 4th?
On the 4th?
No, we did not excavate on the 4th. The item revealed itself, and I collected it.
Then Alan Jackson shifted gears, this time to the Waterfall Bar and Grill, and a man named Brian Higgins, an ATF agent who was also present at the house party that fateful night. Karen's lawyer asked Sergeant Buchanek if he'd ever reviewed the text messages between Agent Brian Higgins and the defendant, Karen Reed. Sergeant Buchanek said he had, but only from a CD of screenshots that he was given. There was apparently no forensic extraction done, and Agent Higgins never handed over his phone. You do remember that Higgins' phone was long gone, right? Smashed and discarded on a random military base, of all strange things. That's when the jury started to see the messages for themselves. And let me tell you something. I always say, never hit send unless you are cool with whatever it is you're sending ending up in the New York Times or on the Drop Dead Serious podcast. Because you just never know when you might get sucked into something where suddenly your phone is subpoenaed and it's being read in open court and out on podcasts and television. And that's what's happening here. And let me tell you, the messages were kind of steamy, very private, and not the kind of thing you want Ashley Banfield reading to you on a big old microphone. But get ready, to get your mild freak on here. Karen Reed texted Brian Higgins, "You're hot." And the text did not stop there. She invited him over. She mentioned a kiss. And she even told Brian Higgins that John O'Keefe had cheated on her.
Breaking up or staying together? I don't know. He hooked up with another girl on vacation. I am very close to his niece. It is a very fucked up situation. When was that? And how did you find out he hooked up? I don't want to complicate your situation. We went away for New Year's, the four of us. I put the kids to bed and found him in the lobby of our hotel, all over one of our friends. Whatever, it doesn't matter. John has showed me about 5 times the ring video of me walking you out on Saturday. And my voice and my accent are killing me softly. What? Yeah, he has cameras everywhere. You cops. Jesus. He like, Christ, are you guys hooking up? OMG, great. I don't need your drama, dude. No, it's fine. Seriously? I am serious. You legit planted one on me. I know where the cameras are anyway, duh. Oh my God, Bruins. So your slick move isn't on there? Of course not. OMG, I almost. It was a peck anyway. I kissed Carrie and gay Jeff too.
According to reports inside the courtroom, jurors were glued to the screen. One juror reportedly sat with his mouth open, and another one furiously took notes. And then came the final message that Karen sent Brian Higgins. John died. Given this obvious close relationship between Karen and Brian Higgins, Karen's lawyer pushed Sergeant Buchanek on why he trusted the authenticity of Brian Higgins' text messages, given the lack of forensic verification. Buchanek responded that, quote, "The evidence spoke for itself. I was not suspicious of his motives," end quote. Next, Alan Jackson asked why police never got Brian Albert's phone, the man who hosted the party the night that John O'Keefe died. Alan Jackson followed up and asked if Sergeant Buchanek knew that Brian Albert got rid of that phone. And that's when the judge jumped in and told the jury to disregard what Alan Jackson just asked. And then Jackson went back to the messages between Karen Reed and Brian Higgins. And he pointed out a long stretch where Karen Reed stopped replying, suggesting that she had ghosted Brian Higgins. Sergeant Buchanek admitted, yeah, maybe she was ghosting him. And then came the gut punch. Alan Jackson asked what Sergeant Buchanek believed motivated Karen Reed.
Would you consider those text messages, as you reviewed them when you received them from Brian Higgins, as being flirtatious or romantic in nature?
I would not categorize them to that extent. Certain parts of it might be, but the total conversation, if you want my opinion, I can provide you with it.
Was there some flirtation in the text messages that you noted?
There are terms that I used. You're hot, witty, stuff like that. You know, talking about banging and hooking up.
What word would you use to describe them if not flirtatious?
The totality of the conversation?
Sure. Let's start there.
My opinion is that it's a angry girlfriend trying to set up a hookup to her John.
To her jump?
To her John.
To her John.
Yeah.
Would you consider the responses from Brian Higgins to be flirtatious in nature?
There are conversation parts that are enticing, maybe a little of advances, but the totality of, you know, to put a label on the whole thing, my opinion is that she's trying to get revenge.
Get revenge?
Yes, get revenge.
on John.
Yeah.
For what happened on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Okay. When you say revenge, you don't mean physical revenge.
Well, emotional revenge. She's trying to hook up with Higgins and then hurt John by cheating on him.
Well, if that doesn't show an intense dislike for the defendant, Karen Reed, I don't know what does. So good on you. Good job, Alan Jackson. Next, Jackson queued up the Ring camera footage from John O'Keefe's home. Remember, it is time-stamped 5:07 a.m. on January 29th. And that's about an hour before John is discovered frozen in the snow. The video shows Karen Reed's black Lexus backing up. And Alan Jackson had the video zoomed in on the rear tire of John O'Keefe's Chevy Traverse, which was also parked in that same driveway. And whammo, Karen's SUV appears to make contact with John's SUV, even causing John's SUV to ever so slightly be jostled. People, it is unmistakable. Those cars touched. Which is why Sergeant Buchanan had to admit to the jury that, quote, based on that video, it appears there might have been movement there.
There is movement of the tire.
And then Sergeant Buchanan gave the line that hung in the air.
I'm asking you, based on what you just saw in this video, do you believe that the SUV struck the Chevy Traverse?
Logically speaking, the two vehicles had to have come into contact for the tire to move.
Oh, and P.S., the part of Karen's car that made contact with John's car, it was her rear passenger side taillight. See where this is going? And then the focus shifted to the dog. Yes, Chloe, the German Shepherd, once owned by Brian and Nicole Albert at 34 Fairview Road, but interestingly, rehomed shortly after John O'Keefe died at that home. Alan Jackson wanted to know why the police report left out the name of the dog's new owner. Sergeant Buchanan said he used vet records to confirm it was the same dog, but admitted he had no rehoming paperwork, no transfer records, no adoption details, nothing. Before the day wrapped, Alan Jackson hit one final nerve, delayed police reports. Some of them weren't written until 500 days after the events that they described. One of them was 581 days late. That's kind of, you know, late for the rest of us mere mortals, right? But these are cops filing crime reports. 581 days late? To that, Sergeant Buchanan told the jury, we do the best we can. And with that, Judge Cannone wrapped up court for the day, and testimony picks up again Monday at 10 a.m. sharp. And if this past week was any indication, it is only going to get messier from here, my friends. Because remember, we are still in the Commonwealth's case. This is still the chance for prosecutors to show Karen Reed in the worst light possible. Yes, defense attorneys get to cross-examine every one of the Commonwealth's witnesses. And, oh my God, are they ever doing a great job at cross-examination? Because the pendulum seems to be swinging early and often back to the defense before the defense even begins its case. So, stay tuned, right? This could get real ugly for the Commonwealth. Or maybe something else will happen. I'm Ashley Banfield, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.